You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around planet Earth, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. To our friends in China, ni hao. To our friends in the Balkans, kakoste. To our friends in Russia and to those nations speaking their language, privyet, kak dela. And to our friends in Latin America, buenos tardes. Well, it is here, but where you are, it may be daytime. And to all of our friends over in Thailand, sawadikap. We're glad all of you are here. And the reason I start the show that way tonight is because we have finished the analysis of our web traffic. And what we found is that our audience is, you know, I've been telling you that we're in over 70 countries. Well, it's true. It's over 70. It is now 95 countries. I kid you not. I was pretty excited when I saw the numbers. 95 countries. And what I did, you know, I had on the website last night, I had posted the top 100 cities. Now, that's if you take all the cities, everywhere where our audience is, where are the top 100 concentrations of our audience? And so it's listed by city. Well, tonight I have added the countries. And you might think, well, that would just be the same. Well, no, it isn't. It isn't. Because you can have a city in a country that does something bigger than a city in another country. In other words, they have a bigger audience in that city. But countrywide, the other country may be bigger for our show. You see what I'm saying? But go take a look at it and tell me what you think about country number 13. Kind of mysterious. Speaking of mysterious, and that is what we're going to do tonight, we are going to dive off into this UFO wave. I'm not going to say a tidal wave of UFO sightings, but a big wave of UFO sightings across the United States and Canada, and, by the way, Mexico and Central America. Big wave, a huge wave of UFO sightings over the past few weeks. And it's been very active in the United States and Canada over the past few days, with a whole lot of sightings in the Florida area. Power outages, rather mysteriously non-explained. And we're going to dive off into that tonight. Now, we're going to do this a little different from the way we normally do the show. Normally, if it's open line, it's just open line and we have no guest. Well, this, if we have a guest, then we don't do open line, usually. And you know how we do. The guest is with us to talk with us for the first hour, and then the second hour is when we open up the phones. Well, we do have a guest tonight. Bill Nell is with us. He's been following this UFO thing, and he's going to be with us, but it's open line, which means we'll open up the phones within a very few minutes after we bring Bill on, and we'll do that right after this break. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to alienseekernews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. Okay, folks, this is what you've been waiting for, your vacation of a lifetime. It awaits your arrival down under in beautiful and historic Hobart, Tasmania. And to make sure your holiday really is a dream come true, you'll be staying at the Bath Street Apartments. Here are just a few of the things that you'll enjoy in your home for the holidays. Stunning water and mountain views from all windows and from your own private balcony or veranda. Modern furnishings, a full modern kitchen with all new appliances, oven and hot plates, fat-free grill, full-size refrigerator, large-capacity microwave oven, cappuccino machine, dishwasher, and enough crockery, cutlery, and utensils to satisfy anyone's culinary desires. The lounge room has an extensive range of electronic home entertainment equipment, including, now get this, a big-screen TV, free digital satellite, pay TV on Foxtel AllStar with over 60 channels, DVD, video, wireless broadband connection, free local telephone calls from the in-room telephone with your own private telephone number so loved ones and friends can call you directly. The bathroom? Wow, the bathroom has a large spa bath, separate shower cubicle, ceiling-mounted heat lamp and fan and hair dryer, and it just gets better and better. Folks, you've got to see Bath Street Apartments, so click the banner over on the Kevin Smith Show website, or just go to bathstreetapartments.com.au. Your dreams are awaiting your arrival. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. My guest is, as I said, Bill Nell, and he's with us on the line. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Kevin. It's always a pleasure.
Bill, you sort of, let me say that, we've got a, there is a big wave of UFO sightings happening in the United States of America, particularly over on the east and southeast right now. There's a lot of reports in Canada of UFO sightings, but sort of what kicked this thing off, at least what I understand from what you have written and what you have told me, was the Stephenville sighting, and you predicted when the Stephenville event took place, or events, because it was multiple, took place, you predicted that there would be a big wave of UFO sightings. Why don't you sort of cover that ground with us a little bit so that everybody's up to speed?
Well, you know, when Stephenville first started, there was a couple of small reports that came out of there, and it was pretty much the work of Angela Joyner, who actually wrote the articles for the local paper there in Stephenville. And I started to see a trend where once the articles came out, the national media picked it up. And the reason they did was because so many people had reported just seeing this huge, huge object, which appeared pretty much on January 8th and then was immediately chased by jets. Now, you know, I've been covering UFOs for many, many years, and I've been studying them for over 30 and closer to 40 now. And, you know, the thing that really freaked me out was whenever you have a military response involved in a UFO incident, it makes for intriguing thought. I mean, there has to be a reason that military jets are sent up in the sky. And, you know, these days, especially in terms of economics and other things, it's got to be a pretty good reason. And when you've got jets, you know, chasing across the Texas skies with their afterburners going, you've got to be talking something pretty serious. So I immediately realized, I said, you know what? This is just the tip of the iceberg, and as stuff started coming out from Stephenville, Dublin, you know, places like that, Glen Rose, and even in San Antonio. And then the thing that really blew me away was, what really kind of cued me off to this was going to be more than just a local phenomenon. One of the gentlemen you had on your show, which I thought, by the way, was the best, one of the best shows I've ever heard, was Leroy Gayton, who's the town constable there for Erith County. And I really enjoyed listening to him talk about all the information about what happened and so on. And he made a drawing of a UFO that he saw. And just about not long after he had his sighting, January 31st, there was a sighting right here in Indiana. And it was amazing to me because the photograph, which, by the way, you can see on our website at canyoustandthetruth.com, the photograph's amazing because it's identical to what the constable drew. And, you know, when you're in this for a while, you see sort of a trend. We call this a UFO flap. It's a time when UFOs are seen in many areas doing pretty much the same thing. And that's what we had. And, of course, the thing that I found interesting was, as we progressed through this, a lot of people started saying, well, you know what? One of the things that was seen in Stephenville over and over again was this huge triangular-shaped object. Now, triangles are a very unique type of UFO. They go back forever. They're silent. They're huge. I recall at one point, years and years ago, investigating a case in Florida where a huge triangle hovered over a neighborhood. I mean, people were coming out to go to work in the morning, and there's this big, monster, dull gray triangle just sitting at rooftop level over their homes, and everybody's freaking out. And, of course, after it happened, it only lasted about 5 minutes, but after it happened, you know, the press acted like, well, so what? And which is pretty amazing because I guess if you didn't live in a neighborhood, it didn't mean a lot to you. But I guess if you did, you thought, you know, this is not something easily explained. And this went back to the early 80s, and it probably wasn't some piece of technology that we had available. And, of course, in Stephenville, what they started doing right away was kind of like, well, they tried using the jets as an explanation. First they said there were no jets. Then they said they were jets, but they were on training exercises. Then the local pilots pointed out, well, you know what, there's a problem with that explanation because the training area isn't actually over Stephenville. It's in another area. So the jets didn't belong where they were. And, you know, if you've ever seen jets training, it's rare to see them go with afterburners and so on and have 10 of them out at one time. So there was a lot of suspect stuff going on. But the bottom line was, I saw a trend going, and it seemed like through the southwest and southeast, there was just a huge amount of sightings. And then what I found very interesting was, of course, Dick Criswell, the one of the founders of IPIS, as I am myself as well, he was on your show this past Monday, and When he was on your show, he started to get a lot of calls about UFO sightings and triangles. And just before he went on, he got a call from White Springs, Florida. And I was listening to the show, and I said, that's interesting. And then as time went on and he finished the show, we got a bunch of emails. By the morning, my email box was pretty much full. I mean, in terms of sightings, I rarely get, you know, 50 or 60 sightings at one time. But there was probably about 50-some-odd emails, some with just small comments, you know, I saw this, I saw that. But most of them were current. They weren't old sightings. They were something that happened recently. And I took some of the highlights of them, and I went through them, and I noticed that people were seeing triangles, and the triangles all seemed to be headed for or in Florida. So I thought, well, this is really amazing. Then I guess it was around 1 o'clock in the afternoon that there was this huge power outage in Florida, which I thought was pretty interesting because, you know, leading up to it were all these sightings. And, of course, when you've been in this as long as I have, and I spent probably a good quarter of my life in Florida. I lived there for a number of years. I lived in St. Pete, and I lived in Orlando. And, you know, I know the area very well. So, and I've lived down in South Florida as well. So, you know, I know the state. And I know that it's a place where there's a huge amount of paranormal activity and certainly a lot of UFO activity. And, of course, needless to say, I hate to point it out because it's kind of cliche, but, of course, where this happened was right in the heart of the Bermuda Triangle in truest sense of the word. So they had this power outage, and it was really interesting because all that led up to it was all these UFO sightings. Now, when they had the outage, almost immediately the Florida Power and Light spokesperson came on and said, well, you know what? We don't really know what's going on. This was caused by a disturbance. And I'm thinking, what does a disturbance mean? A disturbance causes a nuclear power plant to go offline? Because I guess what happened was the Turkey Point nuclear power plant, which is near Homestead, Florida, simply went, you know, offline. It just pretty much shut down. And, I mean, that's not something that happens every day. I could see it happening because it's happened in other places where there's a grid failure. But they couldn't explain the reason for the grid failure. And that really freaked me out. And I know historically UFOs do have a definite connection to power outages. I mean, we had the 1965 blackout, which I was a part of because I was living on Long Island at the time, and we had no power for a long time. New York City was dark. At that time, we had a pile of UFO sightings, including New York City firefighters, police. There were members of the New York National Guard that had seen UFOs, and even a couple of celebrities, Stuart Whitman, famous actor, and, of course, Warren Beatty, Shirley MacLaine's brother, also had sightings. They were staying in a hotel, which used to exist in the Empire State Building, looked out their window, and both of them at the same time saw this huge, huge glowing disc UFO. So we know there's a connection. In fact, people up in Canada and near Niagara Falls, a power generating plant, also said they saw UFOs before, during, and after the famous blackout. So there's a real historical connection, if you will.
Yeah, but the people down in Florida, at the power plant in Florida, I read a report where they said there was a malfunction and a small fire. And then in the same report it said that they were trying to determine what was the malfunction and that caused the fire, and it said, even so, this should not have caused this cascading problem.
Well, this was the beauty of it. You know, I was willing to consider that possibility because I lived in Phoenix for many years, and as you know, in that area, there's, you know, because of the demands of the air conditioning and so on, huge demand on the power grid there. There are sporadic power failures, and grids can go down for reasons or no reason, pretty much. But the thing that I loved was it took really till the next morning for them to say that it was this. It was actually, they said it was a fire at a small substation. So I just happened to be watching Fox News, and they happened to have a reporter whose first name is Orlando. I can't remember his last name. But he was covering this story, and he actually was parked right out in front of the substation. And they had the cameras there. And, you know, in the morning, the Fox News show is kind of like a, you know, it's more of a comedy thing than anything else. It's a very lighthearted look at the news in most cases. And they said, well, you know, where's the fire? Where's the signs of the fire? There was absolutely no sign of the fire. And I thought, this is intriguing. So this is what I did. I put some emails in to the West Aid Fire Department because they would have been the ones that would have dealt with this particular incident. They have not gotten back to me, which, you know, is not necessarily unusual. But they had no immediate comments when I called about this whole thing, which I did think was a little bit unusual. And then I also emailed Florida Power. I emailed their office for the spokesperson who was on Fox News that morning. When they brought up the situation to her, now bear in mind, she's doing a call-in guest spot on their show, so she doesn't know what's on the screen until they told her. You know, she was all hepped up and excited about the substation fire story until they said, well, you know, we're out here at the substation, and look, we don't see any signs of the fire. And then she immediately switched her gears and said, well, as we said, we're investigating this. It was caused, again, by a disturbance in the grid, and that's what caused the power plant to shut down, and we really don't know what happened. And here's the thing that really freaked me out. She says, and it can happen again. So they're like, what? Oh, yeah, well, since we don't really know what caused it, we want people to be aware that this can happen again. Now, it's rare for anyone in the power business to say, well, you know, we're in charge, but don't trust us with your power because, heck, any minute of the day or night, you could have no power. And, of course, I'm sure all the people in that nice hot weather are real glad to hear that. So I connected to UFOs because one of the emails I got, which was a pretty interesting one, came from a guy who was out fishing down near Homestead, which is very, very close to the power plant. He saw a big triangular-shaped UFO. Other people that were out there, once he got back to the dock, said they saw it. You know, it was almost like, concentrically speaking, these triangles were being seen all in the area from as far north as Jacksonville on the East Coast to as far south as Homestead, right by the power plant. And there were an awful lot of sightings. There were sightings in Orlando, Deltona, Miami. I mean, these were the places, you know, places we were hearing from. So I put two and two and get together and pretty much figured, okay, you know, there's definitely a connection here. Something's going on because it's the kind of thing where you can't really explain this power outage in normal terms. And bear in mind, power companies, this is their bread and butter. They have to be able to give answers to the public. And you could just bet, you know, Florida as a state, they're very concerned about their power grid. They're going to want some answers. And I think that by the next day, for them to pretty much say, to try to blame it on some small substation fire, which at this point, we don't even know if that actually took place. You know, a substation fire could be a couple of kids burning a newspaper on the gravel, too. I mean, you know, so we just don't know what happened, but I do believe it's definitely connected to UFOs.
All right. Well, that kind of brings us up to date. You know, we had a power failure out here in the Phoenix area. We have a nuclear power plant not far from Phoenix. And we had a power failure, and they had to bring in, I don't know, a big generator or something, transformer or something that had to be brought in. It took a while to get here. Before that power failure, there were reports of a UFO hovering above that plant. Nobody ever said much about it, but the reports were out there, and people were saying they saw it. Let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Yeah, Bob.
Hey, I just wanted to note on the whole thing with UFOs. It's been really frustrating because I've been monitoring things since way before the Phoenix lights. And every time you go to talk to somebody, especially the older generation, they look at you like you're absolutely nuts. And they think it's so funny, and these big smiles come on their face. And it's really hard because no matter how much evidence actually comes out, they always say, until they actually land on the front lawn of the White House and they can see him right in front of them, they don't care and they won't believe. And it's hard because sometimes people are just trying to meet their economic needs, and they come home and they turn on reality TV shows and everything that really doesn't have to do with reality. And in the end, the public just thinks it's a big joke, no matter how much evidence there is.
Well, that's true of a great many people in the public. But remember, these are the same people who were at one point willing to believe that the Earth was flat.
I that actually helps me a lot, Kevin. Thank you.
You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
They are easily misled into anything except what's factual and true. It's just a fact of the public. If that were not the case, do you think politicians could keep getting elected?
Probably not. We kind of act like sheep.
Yep, that's right.
All righty, thank you, Kevin.
Thanks for the call. Maybe that's a little bit harsh. Maybe I shouldn't have said it that way, but it is the truth. For the masses of people, you can have a UFO. You could have a UFO land on the White House lawn and have the press swear that it's swamp gas, and there would be a very large number of people that would believe it was swamp gas.
You know, you're so right, Kevin, and I just want to chime in on this because I understand your caller's frustration. You know, I've had it myself. I mean, I grew up in an Air Force family, and I had two realities to live with. I had the reality of the government saying, well, you know what? No credible witnesses ever see UFOs. There's no proof that they're a threat to national security. In fact, there's no proof they're really anything but a bunch of swamp gas and weather balloons and ball lightning, you know, pretty much. And then at the same time, I'd hear these pilots that were flying, you know, $500,000, $1 million aircraft in those days saying, well, you know what? I saw one of these things and I couldn't explain it. So for me, there was a reality and there was a truth. And of course, you have to understand, and I think that one of the things a lot of people miss is that the government has been poo-pooing this stuff for over 60 years. You know, they've got the media so brainwashed.
And they have developed a huge pile of poo-poo.
Oh, yes. I mean, they've got the media so darn brainwashed. I mean, it's at this point where, it's not the fact of whether UFOs exist. They've got people and the media believing they simply can't exist. And it doesn't matter how many scientists or experts or people come forward and say, you know what, this stuff is real. I remember hearing a segment from a speech by General MacArthur when he said the next war will not be an international war, it'll be an intergalactic war. You know, statements like that from some of our greatest generals. I remember, all these different people commenting on Project Blue Book and what a bunch of pile of crap it was. I mean, people from within the Air Force making these statements and saying that the thing was no good, it was a bad study, it wasn't scientific, and a lot of the information was kept back from the experts. You know, there was never a sincere effort on the part of our government to look at UFOs officially and say, gee, what are they? Let's find out. You know, the government knows what they are.
I think that there has been that attempt. However, it has not been public.
That's correct. The government knows exactly what UFOs are. The problem is we don't.
yeah. Let's go to the phone lines again. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show, and we're just about to a break, so let me ask you your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Kevin in Iroquois Falls, Ontario.
All right, Kevin, are you willing to hang on through the break?
Absolutely. I'll wait all night if I have to.
All right. Well, it won't be all night, but we'll get back to you right after the break, which is coming up here in just a very, very short time. Bill, you know, I would not have confidence in our military or in our government or in our intelligence community. I would have no confidence in them if I thought they didn't know what this is all about.
That's correct. And, you know, they would not want to have to tell you. And believe me, I know for a fact, because I grew up in an Air Force family, that there was a whole pile of Air Force officers that hated like the Dickens to say to people, we don't know what these things are, we have no defense against them, you know. And really, that's one of the fears out there, is that, well, suppose they tell us we know what they are, but then say, look, we can't stop them from doing whatever they want to do. I think to an extent they're afraid that will cause some sort of panic, and perhaps they're right, I don't know.
Well, if that were the case, I'm not convinced that's the case now. I think that very likely they do have capability of defending against them now. But maybe, you know, years ago they didn't. All right, we're
exactly
into a break, and we will continue with this sort of hybrid open line show talking about this UFO flap over in on the East Coast, primarily around Florida. If you're in Florida and you saw it, we would like to hear from you. We'll be back. We are back, and we have a caller online, Kevin from Canada. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hi, yeah. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Bill. You know, it's kind of funny that we're getting all these UFO sightings since December the 10th recently, and we got 2012 coming up pretty shortly, too. Maybe there's a connection between the two.
Well, there may be. I have no idea about that. I honestly don't. It wouldn't surprise me, though.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't really surprise me either.
I was going to ask you, Bill, to comment on that.
Well, one of the things I find interesting is, you know, over the years I've watched the UFO phenomena so closely, and it seems like, I'm not sure if it's our response to it or if it's simply an increase in the phenomenon, but, you know, people point out, and perhaps rightfully so, that ever since, you know, we exploded the first atomic bomb, UFOs have, in fact, been on the increase. We've seen more sightings. We've seen more outrageous, in a sense, activity. I think that the Phoenix Lights were something that people should have taken note of, because I felt that when that happened on March 13th, 1997, for me, it kind of, and I was in the town at the time, and let me just share a quick story with you. When I was in the town, I was actually doing a seminar there. I wasn't living there at the time. But I was driving into Phoenix from Flagstaff, so I was driving from north to south, coming in on 17, which is one of the interstates. And as I was coming in, right in the late afternoon, early evening, it was probably around, I don't know, 6 o'clock, this is something I've never seen happen in any American city. And I've left tire tracks on just about every American road. I mean, I used to do 100 to 150 seminars a year and largely drive to them. So I can tell you this is true. I saw police, state police, pretty much make everyone pull over to the side lanes and allow this huge, huge, huge convoy of what I'm gathering were, or what's supposed to be believed, were National Guard convoys just go ahead. And I mean, we had to pull over. And my family was with me, and my wife would attest to this. And it was really freaky. I mean, I've just never seen it. And I hadn't heard about the sightings yet. They were not on the radio at that point. But I said to myself, what the heck is going on in this town? You know, what am I driving into? And it slowed the traffic up something terrible and delayed it for quite a bit of time. Now, if it had been just police cars or ambulances or fire trucks, it would have said, well, you know, it's probably some horrible accident, because let's face it, there's always some horrible accident somewhere. But this wasn't that. This was literally military trucks, and it cued me into something. You know, this is more than what we're more than meets the eye. And I think really those Phoenix Lights sightings, because you have to remember what did they come on the heels of? We had all these sightings in Mexico for 5 to 6 years before that, and actually longer, because we could talk going back to the late 80s. So we had all this amazing activity going on in Mexico, which everybody in this country kind of ignored until it came to our own door. Then there was all these sightings in San Diego, and we're getting those now too, by the way. Mm-hmm. Sightings in you know, Phoenix and so on. And I think it's the start of something. I'm just not sure what it is.
Well, you know, interstates, a lot of people don't know this. And Kevin, you're in Canada. You may or may not know this.
Okay.
But because I can tell you that there are many, many, many United States citizens listening to me right now who do not know this. An interstate highway is the property of the federal government, and the system was built for rapid military transport. They own it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
makes sense, considering what I saw that day. I mean, it literally scared the daylights out of me. And like I said, I think that Kevin is onto something. I think what we're seeing here is a trend. And I want to mention something about the nuclear power plant that I forgot to mention before. You know, I'm a person that hates to speculate. I like straight answers to straight questions. So years ago, I was talking to Al Bielek. Now, he was one of the survivors from the Philadelphia experiment, and he made a pretty outrageous prediction. He was on a big radio show, and he was saying, you know, because everybody always questions, you know, well, did this really happen? Did the Philadelphia experiment happen? Do we have that kind of technology? He said, well, I'm going to tell you what kind of technology we have. He said, do you know when UFOs hover above a power plant, they tend to suck the power out of it. He said, I'm using a very simple term when I say that. In other words, I'm sure it's a lot more technical than that. But they tend to cause problems for the nuclear power plant. And he said, we've got a system, whereas we can protect ourselves from this by simply shutting them down on a moment's notice if a UFO comes over the power plant. And he said, you know, I believe that in the next couple of weeks you're going to see, because there had been some UFOs over power plants at that time. This is going back a couple of years. And he said, I believe you're going to see a major grid problem from the Midwest to the Northeast because of all the UFOs that have been seen over power plants in those areas. Well, within 2 weeks, there was a huge New York City blackout, which you might remember happened a couple of years ago. Again, right during midday. And darned if he hadn't predicted it. And so I tend to believe him. I tend to think there's some kind of interest the aliens have, assuming there's one or many, in our pursuit of nuclear power. And that may be causing some of this amazing activity that we're starting to see now and we've been seeing for some time.
Kevin, you called and told us earlier in the week.
Yeah.
On one show, you called in and said, I'm looking at a UFO up over my town right now.
Yeah, and I was just about to get to that because when I called in, when we had the UFO sighting here, and it's not the first one either. We've been having that was the fourth UFO sighting in this area in about 6 weeks, or perhaps there were more. Those are just four that I really know of, and we have one of the highest producing paper mills and low cost paper mills in the world here, the Abitibi Bowwater, and we also have a hydroelectric dam only about 5 miles from here as well. So that may have caught their attention as well. That's maybe why we're having a lot of UFO sightings in this area also.
Did your area have a power outage?
Yes, that day that when I called in about the UFO, we did the power did go out for a short period of time, only a few seconds though, but the power did go out and they had no explanation for it.
You know, what I thought was interesting was when you called in, I remember you calling back later and saying, you know what, after I called in, these jets appeared, and now the thing is gone. I thought that was so cool and amazing.
Yeah. Well, actually, I had fast blasted Kevin about that, and Kevin read it on the air. Yeah, I kept looking at it because it was on this side of the, because it came back the next day, but when I was on the air, that day I was on the air, it was I could see right out my window, and I was watching it, and later on, When I kept watching it, I saw three aircraft chase after the orb that I was seeing. And once it saw the aircraft, the orb just blinked out. It's like gone.
All right. Now, what kind of aircraft were they? Were they military?
They looked like Canadian Air Force planes. Yeah.
Okay.
And it was shortly after I was on the air. I guess somebody must have heard me, and they must have notified this person, that person, whatnot. That's what it
well
is.
We're performing a service, that's a good thing. Kevin, thanks for the call.
All right, thanks Kevin.
All right,
I'll see you later.
Folks, 1-800-289-1092 is the number to call, and we're doing this, it's kind of a hybrid open line. We normally don't open the phone lines during the first hour when we have a guest, We're doing it sort of a hybrid open line tonight. That means that you can call right now, and we'd love to hear from some of you who have seen these UFOs over around Florida or anywhere anywhere in the past few weeks. If you've seen UFOs, we'd love to hear from you because... It's not showing up in the newspapers, and I'm not surprised. I have to tell you, I'm simply not surprised. I went online today, Bill, to look for news stories about these UFO sightings in Florida. I didn't find a single story about UFOs.
Well, you know, it's just amazing. And, of course, for me, this is an old story because, like I said, I mean, for all intents and purposes, my interest in UFOs, my somewhat, you know, interesting career with UFOs started in Florida because I had a high school, I had a UFO club that I started. And it was amazing the information that used to come into our little hotline that we had and people dropped notes off and stuff. And I was stunned because all these amazing sightings were going on, and there wasn't one single thing in a local paper. And finally, when I started talking about it, you know, people thought it was interesting that a teenager would do this, and we got a story written about us in the St. Pete Times, and then some of the local radio stations called me up in the morning and started interviewing me. And when I started talking about the stuff on the air, it was an interesting phenomenon because instead of me reading about the sightings in the paper, I would talk about the sightings, and then the papers and the media would kind of follow my lead and talk about what I was talking about. And again, I blame it on the fact that we've had so many years of the government simply, you know, telling people these things don't exist, they simply can't exist, so don't worry about them. So the media, you know, when they get a UFO call, they laugh it off. I mean, you know, most
well,
people...
Well, here's another thing to think about, and we have a break coming up, and we have a caller on hold. Caller, will you hold during the break? Hello, caller?
Yes.
Are you willing to hold during the break?
Yes.
All right. You know, one of the things that people need to be aware of, and as we talk about the media, your local newspaper is most likely not your local newspaper. It may be owned by a big corporation in Hong Kong or by a big corporation somewhere in Australia or somewhere across the country. And it's not locally owned and operated anymore as it once was. And I think that makes a huge, huge difference in the quality of reporting. And I think it's a negative difference. I don't think it's positive. The corporate news is kind of like all of these radio stations that churn out canned programming now. All right, folks, we have to take a break. We'll be back and we'll continue with our hybrid open line show. We're talking about the UFO flap across America.
Nowhere, somewhere, anywhere.
Did you know The Kevin Smith Show selects one of its very best shows each week and turns it into a free podcast? Well, it's true. You can download free Kevin Smith Show podcast right now and get a free fresh podcast each week. Do you want to start building your own library of Kevin Smith shows? All you have to do is visit our website at kevinsmithshow.com and click the free podcast link. They're yours for the download. We are back, and Bill, let's go straight to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Larry from California.
Yes, Larry.
How are you doing, Kevin? How are you doing, Bill?
Outstanding.
Hey. I feel like I should also say hello to Kevin and Michelle, since they call in so much. They seem like a regular guest on the show. But I guess my question is for both of you, to see which one of you can answer this. This goes back to earlier in the conversation when you were talking about whether these UFOs were friendly or not, and whether our government knew that or not. And I have to question, why is it our government is trying to take away our Second Amendment rights if they would have any concern whether they were friendly or not?
I don't think they're connected. I don't think those are connected at all.
Okay. Because, you know, if they thought they were hostile, they wouldn't want to be taking our guns away from us, you know?
Yeah, I think those are not thought of in a homogenous thought process. I think they're thought of separately. So there's two completely separate issues. What do you think, Bill?
Well, I think yes and no. I'll just say this, you know. I mean, like I said earlier, I grew up in an Air Force family, and I can tell you that the climate in the military, and I believe the climate in government today, is one that we've come to, and the climate is the government believes they are in control of everything. They believe they can control everything. You know, sometime, I don't know, maybe around the beginning of the last century, our government decided to go the route, you know, with the onslaught of the problem of being concerned about communism and socialism and so on. They decided to use the English method of basically, first of all, what they don't know, don't tell them because you don't need to know. And then secondly, control everything you can, you know. And that's, you know, we followed the model of British intelligence when our CIA was created. And I fully believe, and like I said, I grew up in it. I mean, I think that our military believes there's not a problem they can't solve, and that may well be true. I don't know. But given that, I think their biggest concern is, well, if people have, you know, a bunch of weapons and there is some problem with aliens, and this has happened from time to time, you know, suppose the alien gets wounded and their, you know, higher-ups don't like it. I mean, you have to remember that at Roswell, one of the stories was that a trigger-happy soldier killed one of the aliens, or at least injured him mortally, and then, of course, he died later, he or she or it, whatever you want to call it, and I think that they learned from that, and I can prove that because if you recall, during the famous Rendlesham Forest incident, which took place around 1980, we had the situation where a UFO landed between two NATO bases in the Rendlesham Forest in England. And before any of these very, very highly trained, specialized, nuclear certified, I might add, military police were allowed to approach the object, all weapons, even small sidearms, were confiscated. Now, why would you want to do that when you're approaching, allegedly, a potential threat, you know, something that has literally breached the security of a base where military, you know, nuclear weapons are stored, allegedly? You know, why would you do that unless you already knew what was going to happen and you wanted to control it?
Mm. Yeah. I guess it could be connected. I don't know. I really don't think that it is, but you've given me a different perspective on it, so perhaps I'll have to think about that. But I think that there's not a homogeneous thought process in our government because the government is so gigantic. You're talking about millions of people that work for the government. And that is what the government is. When you say the government, you're talking about millions of people that are working for it. I just don't think that they have a homogeneous thought process, but perhaps they do. Maybe I underestimate them.
Well, you know what I always say, that I know what I always say, and I think people miss this, you know, because my father was for a while stationed in Washington. I think they miss the fact that, you know, these people that seem to be so ideologically positioned in their own ways, whether it be to the right or the left or the center, you have to understand that at the end of the day, no matter what they do or say, it always seems like we seem to lose our rights. I mean, we lose our rights. We lost our rights in the 70s because of the drug dealers, and the 80s and 90s, and today because of the terrorists. But at the end of the day, all these people that are our lawmakers go and eat their $10 lunches, you know, their discount fancy lunches together, and kind of, you know, I often wonder if they don't just sit there and laugh at us all, because no matter what they do or say, no matter who you vote for, in a sense, you lose, because, you know, I recall when the 94 Republicans got in, you know, and they were talking about how the
Let's not get into the politics.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is this. I guess what I'm saying is, you know, both sides vote, seem to continually vote to take away rights and so on. So, you know, for better or for worse, whether it's connected to UFOs or not, you know, somebody wants to be in control, and they seem to want it real bad.
That I would agree with. Yeah. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
This is Michelle from Quebec.
Yes, Michelle.
Good evening to you and your guests.
Good evening. We can barely hear
you. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, you guys. I'll try to speak up, Kevin.
Okay.
Anyway, we've come a long way from the ghost rockets, haven't we?
Yeah.
If you remember them, that's always gets me. You know, security about these UFOs. If you go back to back then, and just after the war, Sweden, they had one that crashed in the lake. They followed it for 2 weeks on radar. And they blocked it in here. They blocked it in there. And they chased that thing with all kinds of boats, all kinds of radar. And after 2 weeks, they lost it in a lake. And, I mean, I think it's just like we've always talked on the show before. Technology is not even. You know, there might be a civilization out there that's 500 years ahead of us, but another one that's 10,000 years ahead of us. And I think we do pretty well with the ones that are around our technological, where we are today. We might be able to take on somebody that's 50 or 60 or even maybe 100 years ahead of us. But when it comes to people that are 10,000 years ahead of us, we're just like a fly in a web. You know, the spider's going to get us.
You know, that makes sense, except... there are lots of stories about the fact that our radar does disrupt their ability to navigate and fly, and that's what caused the crash at Roswell.
And we have so many different signals of radar people don't realize. We don't, you know, every country don't use the same frequency.
Yeah, that's true.
As we all did, that would be, you know, everybody could check on everybody else. But the idea of the thing is, so different many signals, it could be very difficult for a craft that's not used to radar to have to adjust to all these signals. I'm just saying, technology is out there, and if you're 10,000 years ahead of us, I kind of think they're pretty well able to do what they want. But it's a very interesting show, Kevin, and I hope a whole bunch of people phone in and support you having nights like this when you bring in an expert, and we can phone in. Tell little stories like I just did. Because, you know, we forget about the older stories that nobody talks about. Because this is nothing new. We've had waves before. And it seems that America, their governments held them back from most of these stories. Because you know it like me. There's no question if there's UFOs out there. And there's no question they're from other planets. Because I've seen things even myself that no way that's 10,000 years ahead of our technology.
Thank you for the call, Michelle. You're right. You are so right. We tend to forget about some of the spectacular stories from years gone by. And we're, by the way, headed into a break. But, you know, there is a new book that's out that is all about the big UFO flap over Washington, D.C. And it shows a photograph, a color photograph, of a blue orb landing on top of the Capitol building. So people that are waiting for it to land in the yard, well, it got close. It got close. Have you seen that, Bill?
Yeah, I thought that was so cool, you know, and I was so glad that Basile, you know, mentioned the ghost rockets, because that was another funny one. You know, the American government took the position that these ghost rockets, which were seen over Sweden, were actually early Russian rocketry experiments. But the funny thing was, at the time, the Russians didn't possess the knowledge to do these experiments.
All right, we'll be back right after this message, these messages, and we will continue. I want to hear from somebody that saw these UFOs around Florida.
Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
I'd like to welcome all of you who are just now joining us in this second hour. We're talking about the big UFO flap that's been taking place over Florida. People have been seeing very large black triangular UFOs. There was a very mysterious power outage, and by mysterious, that's not just my characterization of it. The spokesman for the spokespeople for the power grid system have said, well, we don't really know what caused this. And, you know, they told a story about a fire in a substation, but nobody seems to have fought a fire there. Let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Yes, Brent.
I have a question and a comment.
All right.
Actually, the question is more speculation than anything. When Michelle was talking about radar, it got me to thinking about this new sonar that Bush wanted to get pushed through, but they denied him. Was there more to that sonar than meets the eye?
Always.
Yeah, so I was wondering if it was a disrupting factor that could bring him down or something, I don't know. And my comment is I have been told to warn you that Debbie will probably be back tomorrow night.
I got an email from Debbie, and I've gotten emails from people, and I think we took a call one night from someone who said, "Where's Debbie? I miss Debbie." And I didn't know the answer. But I got an email that she plans to be calling in again. So I appreciate you called it a warning, so I appreciate the warning. And, of course, we welcome calls from anybody.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
The question about the sonar, is there more than meets the eye? There always is, because it's one thing to say sonar. It's another thing to talk about the details of how sophisticated it is and why it's important and so forth. And those things are classified. So, yeah, there's always more than meets the eye there.
Well, you know, you have to consider this, too. You know, we always talk about how advanced the people that fly UFOs may be, but suppose they're not advanced, they're just different. Suppose instead of coming up with the internal combustion engine, they came up with a better idea earlier. I mean, we could have done the same thing. It's just a matter of choices. You know, somebody invented the internal combustion engine, and there was our power source for the next couple of hundred years, more than likely. They may have had a better idea. But one thing for sure, we know that from Roswell, not just Roswell, but, of course, the Aztec. A lot of people believe that the Aztec UFO crash was directly caused by the use of a new type of very strong, very powerful, very sophisticated radar.
And you're talking about Aztec New Mexico.
That's correct, Aztec, yeah. New Mexico, because, I mean, the crash happened right where the radar, pretty much near where the radar was being tested. And the same thing with Roswell. You know, people talk about the crash test dummies and all the other nonsense, but let's face it, they were working with some very powerful frequencies. In fact, I had a friend of mine who's an engineer that worked for years for various government contractors tell me straight up, he said, look, they had a type of frequency they were using for radar back in those days that we can't use today. It's illegal to use it today. Well, why is that? He said, well, imagine them using it and just about every jet falling out of the sky. And I said, well, that doesn't sound too good. So apparently some of these radar frequencies may in fact be able to interfere with some sort of engine functions or electronics.
All right. Well, that's... I hope they have it mothballed, though, in case we need it sometime in the future. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Mark from Nashport, Ohio.
Yes, Mark.
Yeah, I'd like to ask your guest what is the most unusual thing that they've ever experienced in their investigation.
Okay.
Oh, boy. That's a tough one. Well, I'll tell you something. I worked on a UFO case involving abductions, you know, where people claim to have been abducted by aliens. This gentleman was driving his vehicle in rush hour traffic on Montauk Highway in Long Island, about 60 miles outside of New York City, driving home, bad rush hour traffic. A disc-shaped UFO comes over his car, pulls his car in a beam up into the craft. Thousands of people see it. Everybody stops their cars. His next memory is being inside this object in his car. He's scared to death. He closes all the windows. You know, it's an instinctive reaction. Small gray type of alien that we see shown so often portrayed on television. If you've seen Stargate, you know, we look at the Asgard and we think, well, there's the small gray aliens, you know, and basically came around the driver's side and forced down the window of his car, took him out of the car, subjected him to about 12 hours of what I could best be described as medical experiments. They made him work through various hot, dry, wet environments. When his car was found, it was found in a tree, and I do mean in a tree, about 12 miles from where it originally had been picked up by the UFO. He went to a hospital. He was left pretty much on a desolate road, and he got a ride to a hospital where they found out he was suffering from the effects of ionizing radiation without any explanation of how he got those effects or where the ionizing radiation came from. It was pretty interesting because as the object originally after it picked up his car went away, it hit a tree. The tree died just on one side, not the other. Within a week, it was dead on one side. Boy, there was so much physical evidence, so many crazy things. And then, of course, like most abductees, that was just one abduction. There had been others. I visited him at his house on many, many occasions over the years. He lived on Long Island. I would find, for example, that in most people's houses, especially older houses, you paint over the door frame, so the door hinges tend to be extremely tight and tough to get out. His you could pick out with your fingers because I've determined over the years that one of the ways they abduct people is instead of just opening a door, they tend to remove the hinges, take the entire door off. I would find what you might call crop circles, except they're not crops or grass, formations in his backyard, areas of circular growth that where nothing would grow, weird four-fingered scratch marks on his windows. You name it, that case pretty much had it for weirdness. So I guess I got to say that's about the strangest case I ever investigated.
You know, I'm amazed that so far we haven't heard from anybody in Florida.
Now, and that shocks me, too, because we've had so many calls. I mean, I was talking to Dick, poor Dick, Dick Criswell, of course, from IPUS. He handles the phone line, so he really gets the brunt of it all. And his phone was nonstop ringing today. When I spoke to him this evening, he was hoarse from taking all the calls. And like I said, we've got all the emails, and it's just it's weird that people haven't called. But you know what? A lot of people are spooked by this. I mean, many of the people that called were extremely nervous about doing so. That might be the problem, too.
Yeah, but they don't need to be spooked by it.
Exactly.
Now, if it's their very first brush with UFOs and, you know, they've been buying the stories that, it's all just figments of people's imagination, they're hallucinating, it's swamp gas. If they've been buying those stories and then now they've seen it, then it would tend to shake them up a little bit because they know they didn't see swamp gas. They know that. And that's the amazing thing here. I'm looking at this list of the top 100 cities, and when I say top 100, this is where our audience is. And we put a list on the website showing where the cities are ranked by the number of people in those cities that are listening to the show. Number 24 is Tampa, Florida. Miami is in this top 100 as well. And I know Miami is number 66. All right. So I know we've got listeners in Florida. I know we've got listeners there. And if you're spooked about this and, you know, you say, well, you know, I really don't want anybody to know I saw this, ask yourself why. Really, ask yourself, why do you want to hide it? Are you afraid that people are going to laugh about it? So who are they? They don't pay your bills. And only the people who are ignorant of the facts will laugh and ridicule. So why be afraid of it? Ask yourself, if you saw a Ferrari driving down your street today, would you be afraid to tell people you saw a Ferrari driving down your street? No, you wouldn't. Well, you've seen some more high technology, a little higher than a Ferrari, flying in the sky above you. Why be afraid to talk about it? There's no reason to be afraid. And I pay for the call, by the way, so there's also no reason not to call me on the telephone. The telephone number is 1-800-289-1092. I can tell you that the audience listening to this show is not going to ridicule. The audience listening to this show is made up of people who largely have seen something at some point in their lives and know that it wasn't swamp gas. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi there, Kevin. This is Tony from Oklahoma.
Yes, Tony.
I was just curious. Bill, was that abduction you were talking about where it was the car was taken, was that Oakdale?
No, actually, it would have been near, let's see, probably the closest, I'm just trying to think, because it was on Montauk Highway. I would say it would probably be have been, it's a tough one. It's on one of those open stretches there, but it probably would have been a lot closer to I'm trying to think of the town. It's been a while since I've been out there, so I can't remember the town, but it was on a stretch where, I show pictures of the stretch of the highway in my seminar, but you know what? It's almost exactly on the odometer. It's almost exactly 60 miles outside of New York City. So if you drove from the city line and you got out to Montauk Highway, you'd hit about 60 when you were on that stretch of the road.
Yeah, I was born and raised in New York, grew up on Long Island.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the town. There's a small town out there that we're technically speaking in. What is
out
it called?
East End. Out East End?
Out East, oh yeah, yeah.
Because I remember hearing something about almost an identical type of abduction case where it happened in the somewhere like 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, somewhere around Oakdale.
Well, there's lots of them, actually. There were lots of what we call car lift cases from Long Island. Now, this one, I think, might have been near Bellport, I believe, might have been.
Oh, okay, Bellport.
Yeah, it might have been near there. I mean, in terms of the actual town that it happened in. But, you know, there's a lot of car lift cases. I mean, I worked on, maybe 8 car lift cases over the years that happened between New York and New Jersey as well. So for some reason, it's not, you know what, it's not an isolated phenomenon. In fact, if you've ever read any of Bud Hopkins' books, which are excellent, by the way, Intruders or any of the other ones, Missing Time, he writes about a station wagon full of people that were actually lifted up into a UFO. So, you know, car lifts are not unknown. They're just, you know what, people hate talking about them because it sounds so crazy. You know, you talk about, it's hard to get even people to talk about a regular UFO sighting, but then when you start talking about people's cars being lifted into UFOs, you know, they really start to freak out.
Do you remember the Long Island UFO Network?
Oh, absolutely, sure.
And John Ford?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've been to his house many, many times. And
yeah, they had that, what was that case? They had the they had the case where there was apparently some kind of cover-up with the UFO landing out there by the beach. And I guess the people came out from, what was it, Brookhaven National Labs they came out from?
Yeah, I think so. And there was that one around Thanksgiving in South Haven Park.
South Haven Park, that's the one I'm thinking of. Okay.
Right. And
yeah, well, see, Long Island. One thing about Long Island, I mean, it's crazy with UFOs. I mean, if I had wanted to, when I lived there, I could have just done nothing 24 hours a day, but investigate sightings. I mean, there was a time in the 1950s when people actually believed it. I know a number of books and magazines wrote this that there was some kind of an alien base either on Long Island or off the shore under the water because of all the sightings. In fact, I told this story the last time I was on Kevin's show how that Rudder magazine, you know, famous boating magazine, actually wrote an article in 1969 about UFOs, and they said that one of the places where UFOs are seen more than others is in the Long Island Sound. And in fact, if a UFO comes near your boat, try to turn off the motor, because if the motor's running when it goes over, the motor may stop running and you may not be able to restart it. I mean, this comes from a credible boating magazine. In fact, even J. Allen Hynek, famous scientist who worked on Project Blue Book from Northwestern, they once asked him, he was on the Johnny Carson show, and they once asked him, where in the country would you say are the most UFO sightings? And he didn't even bat an eye. He said Long Island, New York.
Wow.
Yep.
Tony, we're going to have to move along. Do you have another comment or question very quickly?
I was just going to say that when all that stuff came out about John Ford, like I said, I had been over his house personally many, many times, and he never, ever showed any kind of signs of being the way they said he was. I mean, I spent hours in his house, and he never talked about anything anti-government. I never saw any guns. Nothing.
Well, just so that people understand, you know, a lot of people don't know the story, but Ford was arrested, apparently, and I guess he was charged with trying to poison local officials or something. You know what? I've seen this over the years. You know, I always say to myself, you know, there's some kind of an invisible line in the sand that I'm always hoping I don't cross it in terms of UFO research, because, you know, sometimes if you say too much, it can be not so good for your health. I mean, I think that the fact that Bill Cooper is no longer with us, and he certainly said a lot of amazing things about UFOs is a good example of that, as well as others.
Well, let me say, Tony, I appreciate the call very much. Interesting stuff. And we are going to have to move along and open this up. Hopefully somebody from Florida will give us a call. In the case of Bill Cooper, I got to tell you, he did say some amazing stuff, and he wrote some amazing stuff. But in the final analysis, it's when you pull the trigger and it's aimed at a deputy. That's what gets you.
That's true. You're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, he had no right to do that, and I think people should know that. But, you know, I'll tell you something. I know the man personally. And just like not just him, but Phil Snyder, many others, he had been shot at or shot several times before that. So, you know, this wasn't, I'm not saying this was some kind of a setup, because like I said, you know, you don't have that right. No one has that right to take a gun and point it at a law enforcement officer. You just don't do that. Not in a civilized society. But you know what? People have been gunning for him for years. And I think if that hadn't happened, somebody else would have got him. You just never know.
Well, that's quite possible that somebody else would possibly have gotten him. But, you know, I do think, and maybe I'm a little sensitive about this sort of thing because I spent my life as a cop and I have had guns pointed at me. And I didn't think it was funny. And, you know, if I had stopped Bill Cooper for a traffic violation, and he had decided that he was going to point a gun at me, things would have ended pretty much as they did end. And I, at that time, would not have even known about Bill Cooper. And so I just, you know, I don't know. I on that one, I hear about a lot of government conspiracies around Bill Cooper. But, you know, when you shoot at a cop, you got to expect the lead's going to fly.
No, that's correct. That's right.
Yep. But, you know, I do think there is a conspiracy. And the conspiracy is among the news media. And I don't think it's the reporters on the street so much as the executives that decide what's going on the air. I think that's where it happens. And, you know, you've got all these reports. I read some of the reports that you put into your press release or your newsletter. You put in little briefs, little brief statements from folks about what they had seen.
Right.
And there are a lot of them. And obviously, if all those people were seeing those things, there were some reporters that saw them too. And yet, if you go to the internet, unless during this show they've begun posting articles about it, there are no articles about the UFO sightings in the area of the power outage. And yet there are people who reported it to IPUS. So that's a puzzling thing to me. It's just an opinion, but my opinion is I think there is a news blackout conspiracy taking place, and I don't know why. I don't know who would inspire it. I don't know what the motive would be to black out the news on this.
Well, I think Florida is very sensitive about their image. I mean, like I said, I spent a lot of my time there, a lot of my life there, and I can tell you straight up that, you know, I remember, for an example, when I was 18 years old, I heard this report come over the radio as a afternoon jock, basically just, you know, playing music and talking and having fun. And, you know, he said, oh, well, you know, these people are out the beach and they're seeing a UFO. Well, of course, I happened to be listening, so I headed right out to the beach. And he talked about it. And then there was a commercial break, and he was gone. I mean, the guy was not on the show, and he was supposed to be on till about 9 o'clock that night. He was just not, no explanation. He was just gone. And there was no more talk about the UFOs at the beach. And that's not an isolated incident. You have to remember that Florida is a big tourism place. I mean, they really depend on that. So I'm sure they're not very happy right now because, you know, tourists are wondering, well, if I go down there, you know, is my hotel room going to have air conditioning? They don't like stories about UFOs, you know? I mean, Disney wants you to go to the happiest place on earth, but yet when the government asked them to take the flying saucer right out of Disneyland years ago, they did. You know, they don't want to talk about aliens any more than anybody else does, and they certainly don't want it in the news. They don't mind you believing in fake aliens, you know, that they make movies about. You can go on all those rides, E.T. ride at Universal Studios and so on. But when you start talking about real aliens, you know, that's a whole other thing, and they don't like that. They really don't.
Well, the American public doesn't like having their news filtered for them. You know, there are societies, Bill, where cultures where it's kind of primitive, and the mothers chew up the food and then give it to the babies. Americans don't like to have their news chewed up and then spoon-fed to them. That's probably one of the reasons that newspapers are dead last in ranking as Americans answer the question, what is the most essential media? Newspapers are dead last. And they're way down there. 11% is where they rank. And that may be part of the reason. And maybe the executives that are chewing up the news before they spoon feed it, maybe they need to just back out and let the journalists do the job.
Well, for my part, I mean, I don't know enough about the history of newspapers to really comment on it. I mean, I've read a lot about that, but not enough. I can just simply say this, you know, my observations have been, now being 52 years old, my observations through the years have been that more and more it seems like the news tends to cater a bit to, you know, outside sources, namely sponsors, you know, situations, political correctness, blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, I think that we've had our news filtered for a very long time. And, you know, when you get used to something that's filtered or refined, you know, one of the complaints is Americans eat too much refined food, and maybe we do. But you know what? When you get used to it for a long time, it's hard to know when you're not eating it. I mean, it's the same thing with the news. I don't think most people would know good news if they heard it. And if they heard the news straight, I'm not sure they would like it.
I don't know. I think they do. I think that is.
I mean, I like it.
Yeah, I think they do. And I think that's why they've left the newspapers in droves and have gone to the internet, some to television, but they're leaving television in mass droves as well. And I think that's why people do go to the internet, because they want the real stuff.
And they want it fast.
Oh, they do want it fast. and they want it real, unfiltered. And, you know, you commented on an article that I published, and we won't get into that article, but that's exactly what it was about. It's about the news media churning the information and actually fabricating facts that aren't facts. And I gave a specific case where it's happening right now, and I gave the specific source to go check and see if I'm right or if the news media is right. And, you know, I've already gotten a bunch of emails in response to that article. In Florida, you have a power failure. Now, this power failure happened in a pretty large populated area. We're going to talk some more about that when we come back from break, but we are going to have to take a break. And when we come back, I'm still looking for someone from Florida who will tell us what they saw.
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
Welcome back. We are talking with Bill Nell, and we're talking about this UFO flap in Florida. And before we jump back into that, let me remind everyone that Saturday night this coming Saturday night is the first Saturday night in March, and that means I'll be in the chat room in our members areas. And so if you are if you're a member, I want you to be there, all right? All you have to do is go to the members area, click on the menu selection that says chat, and you'll enter the chat room. I'll be hanging out in there for a couple of hours, and I'll be absolutely delighted to discuss with you anything you wish to discuss in the chat room. We had a great time last month. We're going to do it again this month, and I hope you're there. It'll be not tomorrow night, but the next night. So if you're not a member, now's the time to join, all right? Bill, if we had to, I know that people in Florida are listening, and you know they're listening, because when they heard Dick Criswell on my show earlier this week, when they heard him, they began to send him email even during the show. And as you said, your email box and his were full by the next morning. So I know they're listening, and I know that they saw something because they reported it. But if we had to, and this is a big if, but if we had to decide whether we think this is a real event or not based on the response from Florida tonight, we would have to say it's bogus.
Oh, I fully understand what you're saying. In fact, one of the big frustrations for me over the years is, you know, a lot of times I was very fortunate in the sense that some really great cases and really good, interesting UFO information came to me. And one of the reasons it did is people would come to me, and one of the first things they'd say is, look, I'm coming to you because, to be honest with you, no one else would listen to me. You know, I called my local paper, called the TV stations, you know, thinking, oh, my God, I've got the story of the century and so on. And they just wouldn't listen. They just didn't care. I think that people are, I don't know if they're frightened or maybe they're just, you know, to the point where they're just so sick of being told that, you know, what happened to them wasn't real or that nobody cares or that no one's going to take you seriously. I mean, Florida's like that, too, because I've done a lot of radio shows down there when I was doing my seminars, my lectures. And, you know, I could go through almost a whole show without barely a call coming in. But then I'd do the lecture that night, and I'd have, you know, 2,000-3,000 people lined up to see me. It's just, it's a weird thing. But I think there is a lot of pressure. Like I said, we're talking about a place where tourism literally, you know, is the number one industry, I'm certain, in the maybe second only to citrus growing. I don't know anymore. But the point is, you know, it is a place where people are afraid to speak their minds because of some sort of retribution. And having lived there, I can tell you, you know, I never really treaded lightly, and I was very fortunate, but, you know, many of the great things that came to me in terms of UFO cases information came simply because the media ignored it, or they didn't take it seriously, or they refused to report it. And, you know, I mean, look at what's going on even in Stevensville right now. And we have this, there's reporters down there, there's people, UFO investigators, not from one group, from many groups. And they're all saying, look, we've got jets flying over this one man's property, Ricky Sorrell's property, and black helicopters flying over his property. You know, Air Force, people claiming to be with the Air Force, threatening the guy. Well, where's the media? Why are they not on this story, you know, like crazy? I mean, it's an amazing story. You know, they've had not just Ricky Sorrell's, but even the gentleman you spoke to, Leroy Gayton, the constable, he had a sighting on February 9th. He had additional sightings. He's got some wonderful pictures, as does Ricky, as does many of the other people down there. But it was like, okay, we had the one big sighting, we put it on the news, and as soon as the government gave them a reason to quit, and they did give them a reason to quit, they said, look, this was jets. This was jets training. This was not aliens, you know. This is not a boating accident, as they say from Jaws, you know. There's nothing to this. Get off it. And the media listened to them. They did exactly what the government wanted them to do, even though the story's gotten bigger. It's not gotten smaller. I mean, you had the reporter who wrote the whole thing, basically forced out of her paper for all intents and purposes, and claiming that they weren't going to do any more stories on UFOs. So, you know, what's going on? Well, it's a classic. You know, people just, You know, people get scared when the media doesn't want to report something. I think a lot of people, it makes them nervous to talk about what happened to them.
Let's go to the phone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
It's Charles from Albuquerque.
Yes, Charles.
I think they just are a little reluctant to call into a show where they know thousands of people might be listening to them.
Well, thousands are listening in 95 countries. But if they're worried about, you know, well, why isn't the media doing something? Well, here we are. Here I am. And my question is, why aren't they doing something?
Well, it's just a little nerve-wracking to think that you're talking that in such a way that thousands of people are hearing what you say at this very moment.
Are you nervous?
I was the first time I called in, and even though I've been in court for many years, it's a sort of a nerve-wracking experience to call in the first time on a radio talk show.
Well, I guess so. I don't know. You know, I sat on the other side of it. I'm sitting here on this side of the conversation. Forget about calling into a talk show. Just call in and talk to me.
Well, I wanted to encourage everybody out there who's thinking that it's a nerve-wracking experience, that it only lasts for a moment.
That's true.
And pretty soon, it's just like talking to anybody else. So I want to encourage them to call as well. That's all I wanted to call and say.
Well, thanks, Charles. I appreciate it.
I have been chatting with a couple of people on the chat room while the show is going on once in a while, and I also wanted to encourage somebody to post something in the forum or put it on the chat or something like that if they're uncomfortable calling in.
Yeah, do something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, he said he's been in court a number of years. He's a judge in Albuquerque. And so there you have, folks, a judge that called in. I'm not going to harp too much on this thing other than to say that folks in Florida need to ask themselves, are you living in America? Aren't you supposed to be free? Aren't you supposed to have freedom of speech and you're afraid to speak? Are you an American? Why be afraid? Just remember that powerful people are only as powerful as the rest of us let them be. And you're only as weak as you decide to be. And daylight has an amazing effect on cockroaches. They all run. All right. The telephone number is 1-800-289-1092. We welcome calls from anybody, but would love to hear from somebody in Florida. I'm about of the opinion now that there's no one living in Florida. But however, the telephone number does work there, 1-800-289-1092. These triangular craft have been seen for a long, long time. They've been reported for many, many years. And it's the thing that I'm hearing in this thing in Florida that's a little different is that they are gigantic, that they're huge. How big are they saying they are?
Approximately 200 to 300 feet long. You know, it's interesting, too, because one of the things that came out of Stephenville was that a lot of the big objects seen there have been triangles. You know, it's not just Florida. And again, there's another story that's just, you know, the government's turned it into a non-event, so no one's talking about it anymore, but the triangles are still being seen. And Dick tells me that about several days ago, he was woken up about between 1:30 and 3 in the morning. These same huge triangles were seen off of San Diego. I mean, literally, people started calling. And normally when you get one call, you think, okay, you know, I'll log it and ask them to go to, of course, people can report their sightings, by the way, discreetly at 911ufo.com or canyoustandthetruth.com or my website at ufoguy.com if they want to. That's not a problem. You know, we're glad to do that. But when you get a bunch of calls, you know, from one area, like with this Florida thing, I cannot tell you how many calls Dick has taken. I mean, the last few days, literally, his phone's been ringing off the wall. And I do understand. I do understand that some people are afraid to call into a show and talk about what's happened for whatever reason, but the calls are certainly coming in. The triangles are an interesting phenomena. You know, I mean, you want to say to yourself, well, maybe there's some secret government craft, but they go back many, many centuries, so they're not something new. You know, it's almost like, well, you know, people were reporting triangles around the turn of the last century, you know, around 1900, 1897, 1899, you know, and it's kind of funny because when you think about it, you almost wonder if some of the ideas that we've come up with in terms of our technology and our Delta Wing aircraft and so on don't come from those early reports of UFOs. You know, somebody had to be taking notice of how aerodynamically well they did within our atmosphere as well as without.
We are about 30 seconds now away from our next break, and when we come back, we'll be on our final approach, the last segment of the show. I'm still hopeful that someone in Florida has a telephone and will give us a call and tell us what you saw. We'd love to hear from you. I have seen a triangular craft. In fact, my whole family saw it. And this was several years ago. And I can tell you that the news reports at first were chuckly, and then they turned a little bit more serious as serious people began to say what they saw. The power is in speaking the truth. We will be back to speak some more truth right after this.
Somebody find my phone. You see, I don't remember nothing. I just found myself alone. Somebody needs to help me. 'Cause now I'm knocked out on a limb. Yeah, with nothing to protect me. Somebody tell my baby.
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
Remember, folks, that Saturday night is when, this coming Saturday night, is when I'll be hanging out in the chat room, and I hope to meet you there, all right? All right, Bill, we still got a few minutes. There's still hope for Florida to find their telephones, and I certainly hope they will. I think the audience would be greatly appreciative of hearing an account of, you know, what they saw and how close was it and did it make any sound. And, you know, to hear that from a real human that actually witnessed it is important. The one that I saw, my family and I were driving through the country, and between the road was between some farmland, you know, on either side of the road was farmland.
Okay.
And my youngest son pointed up and said, "Look at that thing." And sure enough, there it was up over the field. And we stopped, and we watched it. We even got out and watched it a little bit. And it was just setting up over the field. It was approximately a quarter of a mile downrange from us, maybe a little less, and it was approximately 1,000 feet high. So it wasn't very high. And it was about the size that you're talking about. It made no sound whatsoever. It just hovered. It was pointed in sort of a northeasterly direction, and it slowly rotated into a north position, and then slowly rotated back into this northeasterly position. It gained altitude while still hovering. It went up to it went up about another 400 feet. It hovered for a while, and then it dropped back down to about where it had been, about 1,000 feet. And then it left in the northeasterly direction without any sound whatsoever, passed over us, and it did so extremely rapidly. It disappeared in a matter of split seconds.
Well, that's very common, and in fact, there's two things about triangles that are really unique in terms of UFOs. They tend to do a lot of hovering. They tend to hover at very low altitudes. And the other thing is they tend to be connected with cattle mutilations. And one of the big stories that hasn't come out of the Stephenville area in the Texas has been that near Glen Rose, which is nearby, there's been quite a few animal mutilations, mainly cattle mutilations. And the triangles have always been connected to those. So it's interesting when you say that you saw it out in the country. That tends to be more often than not where they're seen.
The next few days after that, was really keeping my ears open for that. At that particular time, I was a deputy sheriff and over in Monroe, Louisiana, in Ouachita Parish. And I kept my ears open for that, but we didn't get any reports of that. We do have a call, so let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
This is Michelle again, Kevin.
Yeah.
Yeah, just calling up to say it's good to hear that Deb's going to be back. And I know, I've never seen it like it is for the last 2 days. All over the I haven't got the email on UFOs or hardly any news or anything that's very interesting. It's very funny, ain't it?
It is. It's as if it has all gone dead.
I've seen the... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry, you go right ahead, sir.
Well, I was just going to say, I've seen this stuff shut down. Let me tell you, years ago, probably in the late 1980s, I was doing a radio guest spot on WABC Talk Radio in New York City, you know, when they used to be a more eclectic station. They covered a bunch of different topics, and it was the middle of the night, but, you know, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. But even at 1 in the morning, you know, that station still has like 20 million listeners. And I got to tell you, we were talking about something that happened in New Jersey, and we were trying to get calls from New Jersey. And normally, you know, at least 60 to 70% of their calls come from New Jersey. And on that night, we didn't get a single one. And we were all sitting around like, what happened? Did somebody shut all the New Jersey phones off? I mean, so it's happened before. And it just makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Kevin, can I mention one more thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, Blackberries.
Uh-huh.
YouTube took it right off the air because of Korea when they blocked it. And Microsoft, I remember MSN Hotmail went off just a couple days ago for hours. So that's three of the biggest.
And what do you think is the cause of that?
I don't know. Don't you find it strange that, first of all, BlackBerry, that everybody carries around, all these businessmen, that way it goes right out. And then the next thing you know, it's YouTube. And then now, like I said, I know the other day I lost all my MSN Hotmail, and they said it was something that was, you know, temporary. They were fixing the problem, but just I don't know what's going on.
Well, yeah, I think it's strange. I do think it's strange. I'm not sure that it's connected to UFOs, but it certainly is weird.
But like you said there, Florida there, you would have thought somebody would have seen something or phoned in, or we would have seen some, you know, UFO group.
I'm not sure Florida actually exists.
No, then you better check it on the satellite. You know something, Kevin, I think we're going to find something big pretty soon. With all this ice melting, you know, if Canada's awful big and out there in the Great White North. If anything crashed there, and it got froze up there, you know, say for a couple hundred years, and the ice starts melting. You know, it's too bad we don't have the technology to be to have access to the technology to check for steel in the ice or below the ice.
Well, there are people that use Google Earth and search all over the planet for weird stuff, and they have found some weird stuff, like the thing in Greenland.
Yeah, I just said that in case anybody was listening that would, you know, said phone in with a good story about it, because you don't hear much about that out there, checking for UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
that's true.
I just phoned in to tell you it was a great show, and I appreciated every minute of it, and I thank your guest. He was great.
All right. Well, thanks for the call.
Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, we've got a couple of minutes left here before the end of the show. And you know, I'm not frustrated, but I am really, I have to tell you, Bill, I am surprised at the non-response from Florida. And what it indicates to me is that there's a high level of fear. That's what I think it is. And I ask again, are you or are you not living in a free country? And if you are, what are you afraid of?
Well, it almost reminds you of, you know, when you watch the Stevensville coverage of the UFOs that happened there and how they really, you know, after a short period of time. Now, the newspapers were pretty even-handed, but the media, the television, the broadcast media was not. They really made fun of the whole thing, you know, the typical puns and stuff like that, and, 30-second soundbites coverage of it. And people fear that. You know, they don't want to end up being the brunt of someone's joke. And UFOs, you know what? UFO sightings are very, very personal for everybody. Anyone that's ever seen one can attest to that. They're personal to the point that they just don't want, they want to share their experience, but they don't want to have it belittled.
Well, I agree with that. And why don't you again give the web address where people can report UFO sightings?
Yes, go to UFOguy.com or the IBIS website at canyoustandthetruth.com. You can also go to 911UFO.com and, fill out a sighting report. Let us know what's going on. If you just want to use your first name, that's fine. We prefer to talk to people. Give us a call at 765-483-9089 if you like. But you can fill out a form online just as well, and we'll contact you if that's what you want.
All right. Amazingly, my telephone is ringing as we are now going off the air. I cannot answer that call. I am sorry. You waited too late. Bill, thank you for being with us. Ladies and gentlemen, my friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.